Amen. One thing I want to do today is this. You will notice a few of these cards in the back of the chairs in front of you. Don't take one right now. But as you listen to the message, because I'm going to talk about something that's really, really vital, and this is one of the things I'm going to be asking people to do. God has put prayer in my heart for us more and more and more. About 2.5 years ago, one night when the servants' council was meeting and we were praying, he gave us a mandate, and that's the way it was. And the mandate was to pray. As a church, we needed to pray. And, you know, we got there. It took a little bit, but we got there. But we're not there as far as God wants us to be there. We've gained and we've increased, but He has more for us to do. So the reason that those little cards are in the back of the chairs, I want you to be thinking about something and praying about something, because I did this, it just seemed right. God's asking us to make a commitment to prayer. He's asking us to get involved in prayer and to commit. And so I just waited before Him and I thought about it and I thought, okay, 2 mornings a week at 7 o'clock. And I took some time pondering that, because for me, this was serious, because God was speaking to my heart. He was speaking to my heart for us as a church. And I'm going to believe He speaks to people's hearts here today in a number of ways. But I had to really ponder and think. Okay, Joel, if I announce this, that means I have to be there. Am I willing to commit? Yeah, and I did. And then we added a couple of more weeks and that, or a couple of more days, and that was at 6:30. And now we've moved everything to 7 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, over in the prayer room. And I'm just committed to being there. And at first, my flesh didn't like it. There were mornings, and there still are some mornings, where my flesh does not want to get up and leave the house that early. I could just stay at home. But God wants me to be there. So I go there. And then by announcing it, I've also made the commitment to you guys that I'll be there. So if you show up, I better be there. Amen. And what I'm going to be asking people to do is you listen. You listen with a seriousness in what we talk about today. But, you know, not everybody can be here at 7 o'clock in the morning. And the way it works at 7, some folks show up at 20 after and they can be there for 20 minutes and then they go on about their day. That's totally okay. Some folks show up at 7:45 and they're there till 8. That's totally okay. It's not like you have to be there the whole time. It's like you can come and be there for a part of it and just corporate prayer. Not everybody can be there. But people can pray at other times during the week and during the days. And I'm asking people to listen to God and say, God, what would you have me to do? And then just a few things. These aren't hardcore things, but they have reason in them. The prayer room has become a special place of prayer. It is where we meet 4 mornings a week with the Father. It's set aside specifically for that. And if I would like people to... You know, Jan and I were talking. I hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but I think I had your word the other night. If I misunderstood, you can tell me and correct me, and it'll be good. But I'm asking people, for what time during the week could you commit? And it would be good to be here so other people could join you. Come here, open up, pray. Maybe it's, I think, Jan, 10:30, Tuesdays, half hour? So Jan is committed to being here every Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning and pray for a half hour. And if you want to join her for that half hour, you can. Okay? But there might be other people who say, you know what? I could come in on Tuesday night from 6 to 6:30. Or somebody might say, you know what, Pastor? I could come in over my lunch hour. I could commit to be there every Thursday from 12 to 1. See, I want to find a time that works for you and where you make a commitment to be here at the church for prayer and then open it up. And people said, well, can I pray at home? Of course you can pray at home. We're not telling you you can't. But I do know this about human beings, that if we say, oh, I'm going to pray at home, as opposed to committing to being somewhere and open it up for people, what happens when you're at home? Other things come in and distractions. It does happen. It does happen. But just by doing that, so as we, you know, and you can even take one of these, maybe it's 3 weeks from now or so, you pray about it, you listen to God, and it matters. And then I just want to talk this morning about our place in prayer. Our place in prayer. The impact of prayer and what prayer does. The impact of prayer. And it was kind of fun. Last night I was meditating on the message, going over it again, looking at verses of Scripture. And then I opened something up. And certain passages of Scripture, and it's like, And then God turned a light bulb on. And things just started just becoming visible and seeing more and more and more and more understanding. And it's like, wow, Father, you just increased the magnitude of prayer in my understanding. It's like he more than doubled it in a matter of minutes. So start with me by going to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Our place in prayer. Our place in prayer. Our place in prayer. We have an amazing place in prayer and what prayer does. And for people who think, God's sovereign, whatever he wants, he gets, whatever happens is his will, you know, that's just how it is, this message is going to bug you. Because how many of you know God doesn't get everything he wants? He doesn't get everything he wants. We have a part to play. Our prayers make a difference. Our prayers change things. Amen. We have influence. We have authority. We can change the course. Did you know through prayer you can change the course of a nation? Through prayer you can save someone's life. Through prayer you can stop disasters. The place we have in prayer. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Okay. So what happens here? James gets killed. He gets killed with a sword. Herod sees to it. And then Herod goes, oh, the Jews like that. Let's go further down this road. So then as he's going further down this road, he goes and he has Peter arrested. I wonder what Herod's got in mind. What do you think he's planning on doing? Verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but, everybody say but, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Doesn't say anything about prayer being offered up for James by the church. But it does say constant prayer was offered up by the church for Peter. Do you think the church ever falls asleep? Do you think the church ever gets comfortable? Do you think the church ever gets focused on the wrong thing? Do you think possibly, perhaps here, the church was just thinking, well, yeah, Herod arrested James, but it'll be okay. They'll let him out after a couple of days and kind of taking it lightly. And then all of a sudden, James is dead. And Peter's been arrested. And the church wakes up. The church then decides, hey, we better pray. We better pray. We better get in prayer. But constant prayer was being kept. But Peter was being kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And he went out and he followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed. I mean, how many of you love this? How many of you love the supernatural? What do you think brought this supernatural into manifestation? Prayer. Amen. Can you imagine the place we have in prayer? The place we have in prayer. We can get in prayer and angels respond. And angels walk into prisons where people are bound with chains, and chains fall off. Prison doors open up. Guards just kind of let them go right on by. I tell you what, the place that we have in prayer. Do you know any people that have chains on them? Maybe they're not chains around the ankles and the wrist, but they have chains on them. Do you suppose that us in prayer can cause chains to fall off of people? I do. I know it does. God delivers people in an instant. Jeez. God delivers people in an instant. I'm one of those. I could take an hour and try to tell you how wild I was and how bad I was and how many drugs I did and how many women I was with and all those stuff. I could tell you how bad I was. And I could spend an hour doing it and I wouldn't cover it. But there were people praying for me before I ever became a Christian. And one day, after Diana and I had a fight in the laundromat, and in the laundromat I told her, "You're moving out, I'm keeping the house, don't care about you anymore, it's all about me." And then I went home, and she and Heather are hanging clothes in the clothesline. I start getting high again. Started to feel that marijuana. God spoke 5 words, and I can't tell you if I heard them here inside me. I can't tell you if I heard them inside my head, or if I heard them audibly in my ear. But those 5 words were, "Joel, you're not really happy." And I put that joint out and was done instantly with drugs and alcohol. Now, see, the problem with that is, guys, I'd go to work in the woods thinning. And I would get stoned. I'd start smoking marijuana when I got up. I would take 2 hits of speed. This is before 7 o'clock in the morning. I would get in the vehicle and go to the woods logging, smoke some more dope with people that I was working with, take some more speed. From 7 to 9, we would work. I would smoke some more joint. I'd smoke some more dope then. I'd take a couple more hits of speed. And from 9 o'clock, 9:15 till 12, keep going. Then at 12, I would smoke some more dope. Couldn't eat much because the speed was so affecting my stomach. And in order to get to the rest of the day, I'd take some more speed. So by noon, I probably got 6 hits of speed in me. Smoked 5 or 6 joints by noon. And then I come home, and in order to come down, start drinking. 6-pack of Miller, 12-pack of Ponies, so I could go to sleep. That was Monday through Friday. What do you think weekends were like? So when I tell you, God can deliver in an instant, I've lived it. I've experienced it. He does it all the times. He breaks chains off of people. He does the supernatural. And I am so thankful for those people that I won't meet, some of them, till I get to heaven, who prayed for me. Because I got to know Jesus. And how great is God? How merciful is He? I wasn't even a Christian when that happened. I didn't get born again for about another 5-6 months. God is so good. But prayer is so powerful. God's breaking chains off of people. But do you know He needs people to pray? He needs people to pray. Just go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I was listening to a teaching, and this jumped off the page at me. And I'll throw a thought out there, and you can do whatever you want with it. How many of you know sometimes people, preachers, throw thoughts out, and it doesn't matter what you do with it. You can take it or you can leave it. It doesn't matter that much. It's not that big a deal. I'm going to throw one of those out here in this. But then I'm going to throw another one out there that's absolutely true. There's no doubt. Mark chapter 14. I want to start reading at verse 32. This is when Jesus is praying. Mark 14, verse 32. Then they came to the place which was named, how do you pronounce that? Gethsemane, and I knew that too. Named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Can you imagine what's going on in Jesus right now at this point in time? Did you know that this is the only place in the Bible you can ever find where he prayed for God to take part of his will away from him? Because drinking that cup was the will of the Father for Jesus going to the cross. Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. God, if there's another way to get done what you need to get done, would you do it? I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. That's what Jesus is saying. If there's another way, Father, can we take it? But there wasn't another way. In order for God to get done what he wanted to get done, he needed Jesus to go to the cross. Did you know sometimes in order for God to get done what he needs to get done, he needs us to do certain things that we would maybe rather not do? We would rather be somewhere else, but there are certain things he needs us to do to get things done that he wants to get done. And that's one of my prayers. I've been praying lately, God, the things that are in my life that get in the road and cause me not to do what you want me to do, please take them out of the way. Help me get them out of the way. And Father, would you please put things in my life that help me get and doing to do what you want me to do? Amen. That's just a sincere prayer, because I know I got stuff in my life that gets in the road, keeps me from doing what the Father has for me to do. I know that. I know that. And I just, he knows the sincerity of my heart in these things. Okay. Then he came and found the disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Can you not watch 1 hour? Notice verse 38. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I love this. Here's a statement that's true. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Has anybody in this church ever fallen into temptation? The power of this verse. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. You mean to tell me if I spent more time watching and praying, I might not fall into and give into the temptation? You mean to tell me that I could be watching and praying on behalf of somebody else and they might not fall into temptation? You know, if you guys don't want to pray for anybody else, if you don't want to pray for yourself, if you're all good in yourself, pray for me. Pray for me. I need prayer. I need prayer. I have fallen into temptation at times. And I hate getting up and asking God for forgiveness. I would rather not fall into that temptation. I'm thankful for the forgiveness, but I'd rather not fall into the temptation to begin with. Amen? And how many of you know being tempted isn't a sin? Being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You can get tempted and not give in to it. I hate it when I give in. Anybody else hate it when you give in to temptation? I mean, I'd much rather not. And where is it written that we have to? Is it written anywhere in the Bible that I have to give in to temptation? No, I don't have to. Turn and look at somebody and say, you don't have to give in to temptation. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to? Okay. We'll keep moving. Here's something, I haven't really highlighted it, and I skipped over it. I just want to throw this thought out, and this is what you can do whatever you want with, okay? How many times right before this did Jesus say to Peter he was going to deny him before the rooster crowed twice? Three times. Do you know how many times Jesus came back and found him sleeping? I just wonder if there's any correlation. I just wonder. I don't know. You can do with that one whatever you want. But I think it's just interesting. He said, you'll deny me three times. And three times he came back and found him sleeping. I would really rather be found praying. I would really rather be found watching. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, take your Bible and go with me to Daniel 11:32. You guys doing all right? Daniel 11:32. I know when I get teaching and stuff like that, it can get a little more quiet, and that's okay. Daniel 11:32. I've been quoting this verse quite a bit lately. Just going to take the time to turn to it this morning. Daniel 11:32. I'd encourage you to just read before and after this verse and pull some more stuff out of it, because there's more to be pulled out of it. Daniel 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. Now notice that he is a little H. That's not talking about God. He shall corrupt with flattery. Now notice the rest of it. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Like I said, I've been saying this a lot lately, but it's vital. How many of you'd like to be strong? How many of you'd like to be strong in your marriage? How many of you'd like to be strong in parenting? How many of you'd like to be strong in being a witness? How many of you'd like to be strong in loving the unlovable? How many of you'd like to be stronger in all kinds of things in life? Amen? Amen. So this is a good subject matter. You know, the enemy did not want me to talk about what we're talking about today. He's saying, Joel, you got to talk about other stuff. You got to talk about stuff that, you know, you got to get really specific and detailed about specific little issues that people are going through. And you got to talk about those things. And he doesn't want me to talk about this. You know why? Because this subject matter covers issues. And the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What's the most important thing in this verse of Scripture? And the people who know God. And the people who know their God. And the people who know their God. Did you know what? You have no problem that you're facing. You have no wonderment that you're dealing with right now that God does not already have the answer to. He's already got the answer. He's already got the direction. He's already got the solution. He already knows what to do about what you're wrestling with. Turn and look at somebody. That's good news. And the people who know their God. And the people who know their God. See, I watch. And sadly, I think there's too many people trying to be strong. Trying to do great exploits. Part of me wants to say, would you quit that? And would you just get to know God? Would you just spend some time with Him? Would you just hang out with Him? I think there's three really good things. I'm not saying that this is all there is, but there's three really good things to do to get to know God. One, read your Bible. You know, just read your Bible. Just spend time reading your Bible. Amen? Two, pray. What is prayer? It's simply talking to God. See, sometimes we get all nervous. Pray. I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? How many of you in here know how to talk? Can I have a show of hands of everybody in here who knows how to talk? You can pray. If you know how to talk, you can pray. Because prayer is talking to God. Spend time talking to Him. Spend time hanging out with Him. And then I like to say the last one this way. Do stuff with Him. There's a big difference between with and for. I love it when Diana does things for me. I love it even more when she does things with me. Because I want to be with her. The Father really loves it when we do things with Him. Because He wants to be with us. That's why He gave Jesus, is so He could be with us. He likes to do things together. And do you know that He likes to have fun too? I remember when Gabriel was probably about 7 years old and we went from Nebraska up to the Black Hills and we're staying at this resort place where Diana and I got married in Spearfish Canyon and having a great time and walking up this old dirt road up to our cabin. And Gabriel goes, Dad, I think it's pretty cool. And don't you think God's okay with us being here on vacation and having a good time? At about 7 years old, I'm like, yeah, Gabe, I think it's totally okay with God. And yeah, it is cool. He likes it. Amen. He loves to do things with us. I'll never forget. I'd go to bed every night repenting to God about how poor I did that day and how I didn't get anything done. And I did this wrong and I didn't do that right and blah, 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 blah. And finally, after about 6 months, He interrupted me and said, Joel, sometimes I just want to walk with you in the cool of the day. And I knew exactly what He meant. I knew the reference to the Garden of Eden. And God would come down in the cool of the day just to walk with Adam and Eve. There are times that God just wants to walk with you. He just wants to hang out with you. He just wants to be with you. Amen? So don't always do things for Him. Do things with Him. Amen? And the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. You know what? In the big scheme of things, do you think Living Outreach looks like a great exploit? No, seriously. In the big scheme of things, looking at things natural, how many of you think Living Outreach looks like a great exploit? When you come to the size of churches, does it look like a great exploit? No. But can I tell you something? Great exploits take place on a regular basis. There's people that get to meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a great exploit. All the time. Even though in the natural it doesn't look like it, they're taking place. Great exploits. And I can promise you, anybody who knew me back before I knew Jesus, they never would have dreamed up this one. I can guarantee they wouldn't have come up with this. There's no way. There's no way. Oh, him pastoring a church? Him starting a church? Him ministering to people? No, that ain't never going to happen. That is impossible. Well, all things are possible to those who believed. And there were some people praying for me, and they believed that God could do miracles, and He did. Amen. He's just so amazing. And the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Back up with me in Daniel chapter 6. I'm doing good time-wise today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sally's looking at me. What? That was me being a pinball in a pinball machine. Most of you were looking at your Bibles and you didn't see it. But I told Kathy I'd get some little mini books for her today. And they were sitting here and I just thought. So I thought I'd deliver them in the middle of the sermon. Pinball. Bing, 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 bing. Any other pinballs in the church? You know, it's okay. The job gets done. Points get scored. Games get won. Amen. Hallelujah. So did you back up to Daniel 6? There's a trap that's been set up for Daniel. And the trap is to get him to stop praying. You know, there's some scheming and plotting and things going on behind the scene. And it's to get him to quit praying. In verse 10, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. I love the last part of that prayer, that last part of that verse, which was his custom since his early days. What did Daniel have a custom of doing? 3 times a day. 3 times a day. And now there's the threat of being tossed into the lion's den if he prays. But what does he go home and do? He goes home and prays, as his custom was. You know, I hear people say this, well, I pray without ceasing. And sometimes I think those people are being dishonest with themselves. You know, it's a justification not to stop and pray. Well, I just pray without ceasing. The Bible says pray without ceasing, so I pray without ceasing. I'd like to follow those people around and see how many times they actually do pray during the day. Honestly, it's a cop-out sometimes, folks. Daniel went home and prayed like his custom was, 3 times a day. Somebody tell me what that looks like. It's a habit, yes. Commitment, dedication, yeah. I'm trying to break it down even more fundamental. What does it look like? Huh? In your quiet place. 3 times a day. Oh, Father. He goes in and he shuts the door. Opens the windows. And it's where he meets God on a regular basis. He's not driving down the highway in his car. He's not watching TV and half praying. He's shut everything, the world and its distractions, out. And he's taking time to pray, as his custom was. That's my question. What does that look like? And friends, there is a part of prayer where we get off by ourselves with the Father and we shut everything else out. And the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. We know the story. What ended up happening to Daniel? It was reported what he did. He was taken, he was brought, and he was tossed in the lion's den. I think if you go out, there's a really cool picture about Daniel in the lion's den. Just as you go out the foyer there. What happened in the lion's den? I don't know. Maybe Daniel had a night's sleep that was really refreshing. Used a lion for a pillow, but I do know this much. Daniel didn't get eaten. God sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions. Daniel had a habit of praying. And the king had been tricked into doing this by deceivers. Pray for our nation right now. Pray for truth to come forth. Pray for lies to be exposed. How many of you could do that? I don't care what political party you're with. How many of you could pray for truth to come forth and for lies to be exposed? Pray. We need to pray for our nation. I said before this past election, you know, I was really excited about everybody praying. But I was also very concerned that a lot of people would stop praying after the election. And you know what? I think my fears are happening. I think a lot of people have quit praying after the election. Some people went, "We win!" and let down. And other people went, "We lost, why bother?" Folks, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, pray. Pray. Spend time and pray. Pray for truth to come forth. pray for lies to be exposed. Amen? We need to keep praying. And the place that we have in prayer, and I love, let me just read this. Here's a result of Daniel's praying. Here's a result of Daniel's life of prayer. The king comes and Daniel is living. Then the king writes this decree. How many of you think it would be cool if a decree like this was proclaimed from the president of our nation over our nation? How many of you think? Well, let me read it and tell me if you think this would be cool. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and satisfies forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the land. How many of you think it would be cool to have a decree like that put out? I think that'd just be awesome. And how did this decree get into existence? A fellow who prayed three times a day. How did this strength, then the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. How did this strength and great exploits take place? By somebody rallying a million man march? No. By prayer. By prayer. By hanging out with the Father. On a regular basis. By knowing God. By knowing God. And the people who know their God. How many of you would like to be strong and carry out great exploits? Spend some time. Now, anybody ever heard that verse of Scripture? I'm sure you have. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Somebody tell me how you picture that. What picture does that paint when you hear that, you know, God sought for a man to stand in the gap? What was he looking for? Somebody. Mm-hmm. What's that? Holding up your brother's arm. And do you know that's exactly how I have thought about that verse of Scripture, heard that verse of Scripture. But you know what? When we go and read it here in a little bit, we're going to get a different picture. Because standing in the gap and protecting your friend from the enemy. Standing in the gap, holding up the arms, so your brother or sister is strong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when we read that verse of Scripture, did you know it has a totally different context? It has a totally different setting when we read it. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. It's just back up a little bit. Ezekiel, Daniel. So you're not too far away from Ezekiel 22. I even have it underlined in my Bible. Is it okay if we teach for a little bit? Is it okay if we go a little bit deeper here? Challenge our thinking a little bit? Anybody else like me got it underlined? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Yep. So, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me. What size M is on that me in your Bible? They're going to be different. I got a capital M. We'll read it in context and you'll understand it's a capital M. Who's that me? That's God. Stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land which I sought, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. How many are getting a taste of a different context already? I sought for a man to stand in the gap before me. So where is this man standing? Well, yeah, God was looking for someone to stand before him on behalf of what? The land. And that man standing there was going to change what? Going to change God's wrath. Now, I'll back up a little bit more. Sometimes we avoid things like this because God's a God of love. And yes, He is a God of love. Can I share something else with you? God is also a God of His Word. He's also a God of a Word. I remember a story that I shared with my kids. We worked diligently as parents to share with our children, okay, you can do this, and here are the consequences. Or you could do this, and here are the consequences. But you choose which way you go, and you choose the consequences you get. But back here, you have the freedom to choose. We wanted them to know that. And how many of you know, just like most of us, all of us except for Jesus, we would choose things that would take us to consequences that were unpleasant. Amen? And I would make it really clear with my kids. So then they would choose and they'd end up with these consequences they didn't want. And then guess who gets to administer those consequences that they don't want? Actually, no, she tried putting that one off on me and I put it back on her. And then we shared it as a team. Okay. But now here I am. What am I doing? I'm being the bad guy. And I just know in having conversation with my children, because I explained this to them, they could go, well, but Dad, you don't have to keep your word. But Dad, you don't have to. You don't have to ground me. You don't have to take that away. You don't have to spank me, Dad. You don't have to. And my response was, oh, okay. And the next time I promise you we're going fishing, or I promise you we're going camping, and I just decide not to, I'll break my word. Are you okay with that? And guess what? They were not okay with that. God is a God of His Word. But what is so cool in all of this, I can do this without backing up, but I tell you, I'd exhort you. Oh, you could back up. Maybe I will. Just verse 23. Verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasury, precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between unclean and clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. This is God's. He's not a happy camper, is he? Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people and get dishonest gain. I wonder if we got any of this going on. Her prophets plaster them. Is that right? Did I read that right? Okay, I thought so. Plaster them with untempest mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they have wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall. What's the heart of God? Get the heart of God in this. Get the most important part of this. What is God looking for? He's looking for a man to stand where? Between him and all the sin between him and all the wrong. Why? So that man can represent all, that man can stand in the middle and hold back God. God's saying, please, somebody step up and change the situation. Someone step up and change the circumstances. Do you know that you and I have a place in prayer before God where we can change the circumstances? I don't know about you, but that impacts me on my place in prayer. My place in prayer. Now, this is a different thinking. Just like Nancy said, just like Lisa said, just like I would think, God, yeah, there's a wall around the city, but there's a little gap here and the bad guys are getting in. Stand in the gap and stop the bad guys. That's not the context, is it? That's not the context. I'm not saying something like that wouldn't work, but this is far greater. Are there any places in the Bible that would correspond with this? How about this one? Go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 43. You guys okay? Because I'd rather keep going. I'd rather not quit in the middle. I'd rather get done. Is that all right? Keep taking in. How many of us are familiar with this verse of Scripture? Isaiah 43, verses 25 and 26. How many of you got this one marked in your Bible too? Yeah, see, we got it marked. Isaiah 43. 25 and 26. Watch this. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake. What's he blotting out? Our transgressions. Our sins are wrong. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Sounds like a similarity, doesn't it? Come. Stand before me, says God. Now state your case. Plead your case so you can be acquitted. So you can be forgiven. There's a similarity. How about this one with Abraham? Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going to wipe out. And what does Abraham do? Most of us in here are familiar with it. But God, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare it? Yes, Abram, I would. Okay, God, can we go a little bit farther? How about 40? Yes, Abraham, for 40. God, how about 50? Or how about 30? Yep. How about 20? How about 10? And what was God's response every time? Would you spare? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I wish Abraham would have went to 1. Because I believe God's response would be, yes, Abraham, I would spare it for 1. Folks, you and I have the amazing privilege to get in the presence of God on behalf of other people and have conversation with Him where He ends up pouring out His mercy, He pours out His forgiveness, and He holds back. Now, there's a radical difference in the Bible between the Old and the New Testament. And do you want to know why that is? Because God found a man. God found a man. Whoever makes intercession for us today. God found a man to get between man and Him. But do you know that that does not mean we're off the hook? What was the difference between James and Peter? Oh, it just must have been God's will for James to get killed. I don't think so, people. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the difference between James and Peter is because the church was praying. For those of you that were here last Sunday, we looked at Acts chapter 27. And when they're in the middle of this storm for many days, and it's going on, an angel shows up and talks to Paul and says, Paul, there will be no loss of life among you, but the ship. And Paul, when he's passing it on, said, there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve, said, there won't be any loss of life among you, just the ship. And God has granted you all those who sail with you. What was Paul doing? Paul got in between God and all those people who sailed with him. all his captors. He got in between. And what did God do? Because he found a man. They were all saved. God has granted you. Who are you crying out for? Who are you pleading out for? Who are you spending time in prayer for? Do we understand? I don't know about you, but does this change your thought about your place of prayer? Did you know what? To have authority over Satan, that's a piece of cake. Jesus gave it to me. And did you know that Satan and God are not even in the same camp? You know, sometimes people get this misconception thinking that, you know, God's this big and Satan's this big and it's a pretty close battle, but at the end, God's going to win. He's just going to eke out an overtime victory. Last second shot, poof, God wins, yay! How many of you know that's bogus? God is awesome! And we're going to look on Satan in the future and we're going to go, what? This is the fellow that troubled nations? Are you kidding me? Because he's a liar. To have authority over Satan, that is not a big deal. But to have the right and the privilege to stand before God and say, God, would you spare them? That's something. Amen. That's a position. Amen. And guess what? We have that place. We have that place where we can spend time in prayer and talk with our Father and intercede on behalf of others. And we've already got Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our big brother, doing the same thing. Amen. Amen. I seriously want you guys to say, God, is there a point in time during my week, during my days, that I can commit to prayer and show up here at the church? Just, I want you to pray about it. You don't have to fill out one of those cards today, but I want you to really pray about it. Why? Because we have an awesome place and we have an awesome responsibility. We have an awesome responsibility to pray. Amen. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Did you get anything out of that? And I'd say do this. Just go before the Father and take some time and say, Father, would you have me? Would you have me to commit to praying over my lunch hour on Thursday? Would you have me to commit to praying every Thursday night or every Tuesday night or every Monday night from 5:30 to 6:30? 5:30 to 6. Because just personally, and I think this is true for you guys, we want the hand of God. We want the miraculous. We want the supernatural. Before they start singing and before I pray, I want to do this. The prayers. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jan. Jan's going to pray with us this morning. Sally, Kim, and Betsy. Just prayers to come on up here when we pray. If you're in this church this morning, you're standing here, and you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never met Him. You don't know Him. You maybe know about Him. You've heard stories about Him and all of those things, but you've never said to Him, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me. Be my Lord and Savior. If you're in this place today, and you've never done that, there's an invitation to do that now. To come up here and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're in this place and you need wisdom, you need direction, you need healing, you need something from the Father, do you know what? He's wanting to give it to you. How many of you know that? How many of you know He wants to bless you? And if you just want to... This is different. If you just want to come up here, and maybe you don't have anybody pray for you, but you just want to come up here and stand and pray. If you want to just come up here and talk to God on your own, you just come up, slip past the prayers, stand, you know, where they're not, and talk to the Father. Draw closer to Him. Amen? So I'm going to close this in prayer. You want to come up? Come on up. You need to slip out? Slip out. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I love you. Worship you and praise you. Give you glory and give you honor. Father, draw us. Father, draw us to you. Draw us to you, God. Pull us to you. Pull us to you. Continue to open up the eyes of the understanding that we have. Continue to show us the place that we have in prayer with you. The impact that we can have as we spend time in prayer, God. Speak to our hearts. Move on our hearts, Father God. We just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. And God, if by chance there are persons in this church building who have never met Jesus Christ, who've never come and said, Jesus, I've sinned, I've blown it, and I need forgiveness. God, that you would talk to their heart by the Holy Spirit right now and just help them walk their way up here. Just walk their way up here and they can meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, there's people in this building that need healing in their body, that we get to pray on their behalf and you heal them. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Father, there's people in here looking for wisdom and direction. There's people in here who just want to talk to you. Just take some time and just talk to you one-on-one and come forward and spend time in prayer. Oh, we thank you, Father God. So right now, as we get ready to end this service and close for the day, we thank you that our relationship with you doesn't end when this prayer does. But our relationship, our friendship, continues through on out the day and the week and the months and the years. Thank you for never leaving nor forsaking us, but being with us always, even to the end. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Amen.